Hey folks, if you're in Austin, Texas, and you're looking for some live music, why not check out 2013-2014 Austin Chronicle Music Poll winner for Best All Ages Venue, Best Sounding Venue, and Best Venue, Strange Brew Lounge Side. Simply go to strangebrewloungeside.com, look on their calendar, and find out what's going on. Find out why artists from Joe Ely to Christopher Cross, Steve Poltz to Renfro are all playing there. Go to Strange Brew Lounge Side for yourself and see what Austin's best venue has to offer. StrangeBrewLoungeside.com. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a great show for you guys today. I have a great in-studio conversation with the great Cody Bryan from the Cody Bryan Band. And also, we check in on the phone with the great Mike Flanagan, who we call and talk to him about his new project, The Drifter, and his Kickstarter campaign, which has about a month left on it. So let me tell you about Cody Bryan. I met him a couple weeks ago, or maybe a month ago or something. I was on a podcast, Austin Live and Local, and he was one of the guests. I was one of the guests. We ended up talking. He was very entertaining on the show, so I invited him on the podcast, listened to his music, found out that the guy that produced his record is my dear friend Matt Nevesky. He's been working with him for a long time. Cody has a record out called Wreck Me. It's a fantastic album. Great, like, country. It's like a rootsy. It's great. It's like Americana is what it is. You know, it's rock and roll and it's country together. The guy's a great songwriter. Matt did a great job producing the record. He's got a great band, the Cody Bryan Band. He's out there touring. And we have a great conversation about him, how he got here, and his whole thing. Great conversation. He's a great guy, very sweet, and very good guy. Speaking of Matt Nevesky, I was just in his studio on Wednesday recording some vocals for my friend Paco Estrada's new album, which I believe is available in December. It's a very fast turnaround. I went in and did some backing vocals on the very last night of recording. Had a great time. Man, it sounds great. Paco, he's a great songwriter. He actually has a song on this Cody Bryan album, Wreck Me, which is a great album. Let me just remind you, get out there, check it out. Wreck Me, it's on the Spotify, it's on the iTunes. And look up Cody Bryan, he's fantastic. Anyway, did that song, about three songs. I sang on three songs last night with Paco. Great guy. And anyway, had a great time. Matt Nevesky's a great producer, had me laughing before every take, and really a great guide guy. Like, it was all fast. They were at the end of their thing. They needed me to come in, and I sang three songs in 30 minutes. I was in, I was out. Matt even sang to me what he wanted me to do, and I would just sing what he told me to do, and it was great. I had a great time with them. Like them. I would do it again. Always. All right. So look for, I'm going to sit down with Paco at some point in the next month or so, and we'll do a podcast and you will hear from him and hear all about his career and the album. All right. So speaking of albums and albums being made, my friend Mike Flanagan, who you know from the band Dupree as well, he was on the show maybe a year ago. And anyway, he's made an album called The Drifter, with special guests like Billy Gibbons, Jimmy Vaughn, Cat Edmondson, many, many more. The guy's amazing. Gary Clark Jr. plays on it. My God, it's amazing. Anyway, so I saw that he had a Kickstarter going for it, and it's got about a month left. So I called him up, and I wanted him to tell you about some of the incentives, some of the things that you get if you give to his Kickstarter, and just kind of hear from him about the album, why it's such a special project, and why he's reaching out to people and saying, like, hey, let's crowdfund this, and why I thought, shit, let me help him spread the word. So check it out. Let's call Mike Flanagan, find out what's going on with his Kickstarter.
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right. I'm doing great. I was calling to talk to you about this Kickstarter campaign that you're doing for your new album, The Drifter. Mike Flanagan with Texas Music Legends and New Stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got, it's up for until December 2nd, so people can give. You're almost halfway to your goal. Do you want to tell me what's going on with this album and why you've chosen to do a Kickstarter campaign for it?
Okay, sure. Well, I made this album, it was over a period of time. I didn't go into the studio and just do it all at once. Actually, when I started recording, I didn't really know I was making a record. I just was kind of writing some songs, which I don't even consider myself a songwriter, to be honest. But I was going through just one of those times in life where a lot of stuff's going on, and fun stuff and, you know, not so fun stuff, all those things. So I would write songs, and the first song that I recorded was with Kat. I had written a song, and I asked her, hey, will you go in the studio and record this with me? And she agreed to, and we went in, and so it just kind of built from there. And so in the end, I ended up with an album.
Wow.
And I had Gary Clark on it, and
yeah,
Billy Gibbons on it, and Jimmy Vaughn on it, and Alejandro Escovedo on it, and Reverend Gene West from The Relatives.
Yeah, and you mentioned the great Kat Edmondson.
Kat Edmondson, absolutely. She actually did two songs. She's the only artist that we did two songs together, and they were vastly different. One was a kind of a ballad that I had written, and it has Tosca strings on it, and Stephen Barber does the arrangements on that. And then the other song, One Little Heart, is just me. I play acoustic guitar and Kat sings it. So every song on the album is really different.
That's great.
It's a wild ride. So that's how I started the record. And then how I got the Kickstarter on it, I had actually taken it around at a certain point trying to get it on a record label. And I just didn't have any success. You know, the record industry is, I don't know much about the record industry to tell you the truth, but from what I saw and the people I talked to, I could only really get two people to even listen to it. And one
so
guy
weird.
Loved it, Bill Bentley over at Vanguard Records. Absolutely loved it. And he used to work at Warner Brothers. He's a great Texas, you know, record guy. And but he just couldn't get Vanguard, really even the other people at Vanguard, to listen to it or to get on board with it. It's a weird record because it's a solo record by a guy that nobody knows, me, basically.
Right.
And with all these great artists on it, and the songs are all over the map, and it tells a story kind of my life at that time. And so it's not a record that you can take out on tour. Hey, I'm going out on tour with all these artists. I mean, that's just not going to happen. So that was part of the reason that I think, you know, it was a problem getting a label involved in that.
Right.
And you know, I thought, well, I guess I'll try and raise the money through Kickstarter and just see if people in general, you know, want to hear the record. That's kind of what it boils down to.
Yeah.
Because I thought, well, if I can get 300 or 400 people who want to hear the record, then I'll probably get to my goal. And if I can't get 300 or 400 people, then I probably don't need to be putting the record out anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, that is a good way to test it. But it's weird that you have to do that. I'm really looking forward to this. You have some great incentives, man. You have like a Drifter's Blues Guitar, a Hero signed by Billy Gibbons, Jimmy Vaughn, and Gary Clark Jr.
Right.
That is
absolutely,
yeah. And you've got for another one is a Fender Telecaster owned and played on stage by Billy Gibbons. That's amazing.
Yeah, that one, that was a funny story because I thought, well, I'll get a couple of guitars. I talked to Jimmy Vaughn, and he has those Jimmy Vaughn Tex-Mex Strats that are real cool. I thought, well, maybe I can get, you know, Gary and it's kind of the blues guys, Gary and Billy and Jimmy, to sign and get a couple of those, and which I did. But when I was talking to Billy Gibbons about signing these guitars with Gary and Jimmy, then Billy said, well, hey, if you want another guitar, I've got a guitar that I'll give you, you know, out of my collection that he's, you know, played on stage. It's one of his guitars. And then I talked to Kerry Langford, the photographer, who kind of, to make a long story short, we ended up, hey, we've got a picture of Billy playing that guitar on stage, and we got the guitar, and Billy was going to give it to me. So that turned out to be a cool little package, you know, because it's Billy's guitar, but you actually have a really cool picture of Billy playing it on stage, yeah, too. So that was one of the rewards. And I've got a reward that was kind of like a little dinner party over at Adam Aaron's and Rose Reyes's.
Yeah, I saw that
house,
too.
You know, which, two of my favorite people. And if you've ever been to a party over there or a dinner party or anything, it's so great. It's so South Austin, and they're the best hosts. And Adam's a wonderful cook. So kind of at the last minute before I put it up there, I talked to Adam, and he said, yeah, we can do that. And so I put it up there, and I didn't know anything, you know, I didn't know if it would, people would, that would be a good reward or what, but that's, I think there's only a couple spots left on that. And so there's some good prizes and rewards, and
yeah,
you know, it's fun, you know, it is kind of a fun thing to do, and it's all kind of all up to you. I've looked at a lot of Kickstarter campaigns to see what people do, and they kind of do everything. It's all over the map.
Yeah, it is.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, this is a very special album, and I hope that people get out behind it, get behind it. You can find it at Kickstarter. Just look up The Drifter, Mike Flanagan. Is there anything else I'm missing?
I think that's it. Appreciate anybody's help on that.
Yeah, man.
Get the record out. And I really appreciate you letting me talk about it.
Well, dude, I'll be honest. I really appreciate your music. The Dupree album made it onto the best of the year in September on our show. And and so did part of our conversation. I love your music. I love what you do, and I'm really glad you're out there doing it. I hope that people rally behind it and help you get the Drifter out.
Well, I appreciate it, and back at you. I love what you do, and I thank you so much for having me on.
All right, my man. All right, Mike, everyone get out there and support the Drifter. Thanks, man. Take care.
Thanks, John.
Yeah. Mike Flanagan, man, get out there, help him out, get the Drifter out. I, for one, would love to hear it, so I'd love for it to come out. All right, man, without further ado, let's sit down and talk to this talented young man, Cody Bryan. He's a great guy, very talented songwriter, great singer. The Cody Bryan Band is out there playing. Their album, Wreck Me, is available. Get it, produced by my good friend, Mr. Matt Nevesky, who I just worked with Wednesday night on that Paco album. That's very fun. All right, let's talk to Cody Bryan, all right? Let's get down. Did a record with do you know who Bob Ezrin is? He did like The Wall and like Kiss, and he's done like Taylor Swift. He's done so much shit.
All right, he's a producer.
Yeah, yep. Big time.
Nice, man.
Big time, long time. Anyway, I went and met with them and did a thing with them, but I didn't know if you'd ever seen them. They're real fucking great.
Where do they usually play?
They played most recently at like Holy Mountain.
Okay. I haven't actually been to Holy Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you started out at the Saxon Pub?
Right. We had a little residency at the Saxon every Wednesday night. It was definitely every Wednesday night with Walt Wilkins. And we would actually go on right after Walt for a month long residency there. So
yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of, we got our chops up there as Cody Bryan Band. I mean, it was a whole new thing at that point. You know, Matt and I and a couple of my friends got together. And
Matt Nevesky
and I, right.
Great producer.
He's awesome. Good guy. And, you know, I'd known Matt for a long time, and he kind of took us under his wing.
I think he told me about you, because he's always up, you know, he's always talking about the things he's working on. But I know that you guys... When did you meet him?
Shoot, I think we've been working with Matt now for probably 7 years. So, let's see, where would that put us back at, like, in 2000?
Wow.
You know, I think it was actually before that, even. Because that would put us back at, what, 2007,
how
2006?
Old are you?
I'm 20, 29 now. I just turned 29.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Had to think about that for a second. Yeah, you know, and it was kind of interesting the way it all happened. It was really cool. I remember I was in San Antonio hanging out. That's where my aunt and uncle live and my grandma. So I was down there hanging out with my family down there, and I missed a phone call. And then a couple of, like, 30 minutes later, I got a call from our bass player, Miles. And he was like, hey, man, you're not going to believe who I just got a call from. I was like, all right, no, I'm not. Dude, tell me. What's up? What's going on? And he's like, dude, so Matt Nevesky, he's the bass player for Blue October, just called me. And Miles... that's always been one of his favorite bands, Blue October. So him, Miles being the bass player and getting a call from the bass player from Blue October was really crazy for him, you know?
Yeah.
So he called me up freaking out. He's like, man, Matt wants to work with us. He'd like to produce some of our songs. So he's like, what do you think? Should we do it? And I was like, well, of course, yeah, let's go for it, man.
How did he get a hold of it?
So it's funny you ask. I was going to get to that. My dad is a dentist here in Austin. And he's always been a huge supporter of us, you know, this whole music thing. And I think he'd given one of his patients like a little demo package, and his patient knew Matt. And so Gabe passed that on to Matt. And then a couple of weeks later, Matt gave us a call. So, and man, you know, so we've been working with him ever since. And that was back.
If a kid ever goes like, hey, Cody, man, how do I get something like that happen? And you go like, okay, is your dad a dentist?
Yeah, right. That's what it's going to take, man. He's not a dentist. Sorry, man. Don't even give it a shot.
Don't worry about it.
You're
never going to make it.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, man.
Dude, that's so awesome, though.
Yeah, so it was really cool. And, I mean, Matt's been awesome to us. I mean, he's taught me so much, you know, in the studio. And
does
just,
he get into the songs with you?
Definitely.
Oh, like, yeah. Does he work in, like, well, does he go, oh, so, extend this or cut right, this out or try and write a new,
man,
this?
Matt, it's so crazy working with guys like him. He's got just one of those minds that, it's just one of those crazy minds where you would never think of this idea that he comes up with. And he's like, he'll mention, dude, try this. You know, I'm like, man, I don't know. That sounds weird. It sounds like there's no way that's going to work, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, just humor me and try it. And so we give it a shot. And the first time, you know, it's a little bit weird, but then you keep playing it a couple of times and it's like, dude, this works.
Yeah.
I mean, he's brilliant with that. And he's just great just all around in the music industry. He knows so much.
Yeah.
He's been there
he's really
such a long time.
Yeah.
Just such a good guy. So, I mean, it's been great.
Does he manage you guys?
You know, he kind of managed us for a while. I mean, we weren't on a contract basis or anything like that, but he did kind of take us under his wing and kick down some doors for us and whatnot for a good while there. So at one point I would have considered him kind of like a manager,
sure,
but not on paper, I guess in a sense. So yeah. And, I mean, I know we were just talking about the studio that he built out in Austin there around the Y. It's called Orb Recording Studios, and
it's the
him
best.
And him and CB. I don't know if you know CB. I actually have never met CB, but
I like CB.
They built it together, and this place is huge. It's amazing. We had the privilege a couple of months ago of going in there and cutting about three tracks in the studio, and it was killer, man. I mean, the sounds that he gets out of there, and just his whole crew. You know, the engineers there, they're all really good guys.
Yeah, so. And it's like it's super top notch.
Absolutely.
So where were you born? Were you born here in Austin?
I was actually born in San Antonio.
Okay.
And
good place.
You know, ever since I can remember, I've been here in Austin though.
Okay.
I moved here, I think, when I was about 3 years old. Do you know where Butte is?
Uh-huh.
That's actually where I was. We moved. Actually, we first moved when I was three to the South Austin area. I went to Kasurik, and then ended up moving to Butte and went to Hayes through all the way through high school, and then moved to Austin, back to Austin when I got into college. I went to UT and
Well, wait, when did you get into music? Do you have like brothers and sisters?
Okay, or? I guess initially, scoot back just a little bit.
No, we scoot back just a little bit. Sorry, I'm making this thing peek out.
Yeah,
yeah, just a little bit, but it's fine.
Yeah.
All right. They're more sensitive than the than those 58s.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Cool. So the way that, I mean, I guess I was about 6 years old, and my dad used to play music as well. He was a musician back in high school, and, you know, had one of his high school bands, and he, one day he brought home a guitar from a pawn shop and had the little, you know, the chord book with it and all that good stuff. And he taught me, he's like, hey, here's a guitar. You know, here's a chord book. This is how you read the chord book. He just taught me the basics, basically. And I was 6 years old at that point. Whenever you're that old, you know, your attention span's about, it's tiny. So at that point, you know, I dabbled around with the guitar a little bit. And I was like, this is cool. But I just didn't have
the bug,
the diligence to sit down and learn it, you know. So I kind of put the guitar down for a good while. And then I got into junior high and I got in a band. I was a little band nerd. I played trumpet.
It's cool.
And so I did that for probably about 4 years. And kind of at that point, I picked up the guitar. I'd say once I got probably my eighth grade and ninth grade year, started playing guitar. And
what made you want to play guitar? That's what I'm looking for. Like, was there a show? Was there a song? Was there a girl that said,
I think I eventually just
play guitar.
Nothing too crazy. I think I just got to that age where I saw my guitar sitting there and I was like, man,
I should learn this.
Learning guitar, like, guitar is pretty cool. Like, it seems like something really cool to do.
Yeah.
And so I just started, you know, started dabbling. And I actually, I guess one of my bigger influences starting off, that was when John Mayer was actually coming up. And I went out and saw one of his shows, one of his live shows. And that kind of inspired me to learn the guitar, really. I mean, his playing live, I don't know if you've really listened to a lot of his stuff, but great, his live playing is just, it's insane. It's very, very good. Very good playing. You know, he changes up his licks so much. Like, you listen to a record and then you go back and listen to him live, and there's just, he's one of those guys that just can speak with his guitar.
Yeah.
And
there's a thing he did once, I think, at one of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions.
Yeah.
Can't remember who it was he was inducting, but he took his guitar out,
mm-hmm.
and when he said the city, he would play the blues from that city.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
wow.
You could tell the difference. Like, that guy knows his shit.
Oh, yeah, he knows.
Like, he's like, this is the way you play this lick in Chicago. Yeah. This is how you play it down south.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
So that kind of really sparked me into really wanting to learn the guitar. And so I would sit there every evening. I've got a twin brother. You asked me earlier if I had brothers. I have a twin brother. He's my only brother, sister. And so he would sit in the room next to me I'd be sitting there every night, probably jamming for like 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours. So I'm sorry, Brett, that you had to put up with that, but so yeah, man, and finally,
what does he do? Where did he?
Yeah, he's actually in the Navy now.
Oh wow!
So, it's funny. He went to A&M, and I went to UT.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the first one from my family to go to UT. I had, you know, my whole family, my dad, my uncle, my grandpa.
Oh.
They all went to A&M.
Did they make fun of you at family
and,
gatherings?
You know,
like
they didn't.
If you drop something, do they go, oh, don't worry about it. He's a long one.
He's a long one. Come on, man. You got so much beef with the Aggies. It's so easy to make fun of the Aggies. I mean, I think I always had a leg up on them usually.
Yeah.
The holidays are always fun. Thanksgiving, you know, you had the UTA&M game.
Yeah. Now they don't do that anymore, right?
They don't. And I hope that they bring that back sometime soon because I miss that.
It's kind of weird to take away like an actual.
I feel like it's one of those things that it's going to go away for a little while, but they have to bring it back.
So when you went, wait, I know this is weird to talk about, but when you went to school, were you like, would you wear like UT shirts around the house and like when everyone was together?
Every now and then, but I, you know, I don't think we really made, I don't think we made a note to really do that, but every now and then we would.
Okay.
I actually have a funny story about that though. So we were playing in College Station probably about 6 months ago, maybe 7 months ago. And of course, you know, that the Aggies, they're hardcore. They're all about their tradition. If they see Longhorn in their town, it's going to be like, they're going to mean mug them, right? So the one of my good buddies, AJ, who was tour managing us at that point, he happened to have a Longhorn shirt on at the show. Whenever we walked into the venue down there at A&M, it's called the Tap Room is where we were playing. I don't know if you've been there, but it's a really cool venue down there.
Yeah.
And we walk into the tap, and the guy that we were opening up for, William Clark Green, looked at AJ, and he's like, dude, are you crazy, man? Like, what are you wearing? And AJ looks down. We didn't even realize that he was wearing this. I mean, we were on the road, whatever. We were tired. We didn't even look down. And he looks down, and he's like, oh, crap, man.
Yeah.
Can't be wearing, like, of course he immediately goes and changes, but
What did you study there?
I studied civil engineering at UT, and did a minor in business, and I have yet to actually use the civil engineering degree. It's hanging on my wall.
Do you well, there's a good question. What do you think about all this traffic? Doesn't that have to do with civil engineering?
It does. I don't know what we're gonna do now, man. I mean, I'm hoping that, I know that they're working on MOPAC right now.
And there's a train idea. I still don't know how I'm voting on the train.
I don't know either.
Because I hear these real weird things.
Yeah. I don't know.
There's too much info. Like, I wish there was some place where they just told you what was really going on.
Right. I know. There's just so many different factors that weigh into it. You know, I mean, hopefully this thing, the tollway with MOPAC, is going to help. The tollway that goes out through Hutto and stuff, have you ever taken that one?
Yeah.
What was it called? Like 80? Is it 80? I don't know.
I don't know what it's called.
85 or something, whatever, that tollway. It's amazing.
Right.
I mean, skipping around the traffic, the rush hour traffic at like 5 o'clock is awesome. It's so worth it.
Where do you live now?
I just moved actually to a little apartment right down there near Zilker Park.
Oh, cool.
So I love it. The location is amazing. I think we were talking about the other day, Taco Deli. Next to Taco Deli. I'm hooked.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it's just a really cool location down there, man. I do a lot of mountain biking and stuff like that. So hop right down to the Greenbelt. I can literally be to the Greenbelt in like 40 seconds.
That's awesome.
Which is really, really cool. Yeah.
I have an entry to the boardwalk right here.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Awesome, man.
I'm sure somebody listening in Sweden right now is like, what the hell are you guys talking about? Sorry,
you gotta know Austin. People. Yeah, sorry guys. Come to Austin sometime. Check it out. But don't move.
But that is civil engineering,
right? It is.
Laying out
streets.
That's right.
Well, there's different. You know, there's different.
SimCity.
SimCity.
Yeah,
dude, that was a cool game.
Amazing game.
I forgot about that game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was. I lost myself.
How about Roller Coaster Tycoon? Did you ever get into that one?
No,
that was a fun one too. But I was a big StarCraft guy. That was the only game that I really got into. Was this game called StarCraft?
Were you?
Did you ever play a game like that? StarCraft.
I don't know. No, I don't know what StarCraft is.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, it was amazing. And then, of course, I was like a big, you know, Sega and Super NES, Super Mario Bros.
So did you play gigs? Sorry.
Yeah, we did, man. I played down on 6th Street quite a bit. That's kind of where that's where I initially kind of got my chops up, was playing down on 6th Street. I remember playing a venue called The Vibe.
Yeah,
That was...
I never played it, but I went... Danny owned it.
Danny Crooks?
The guy that, yeah.
Did he really?
The Vibe, yeah.
Yeah?
That was his place.
Okay. Honestly, that was in the beginning when I really had no clue who anybody was, and I just kind of went out there and did my thing. And I think that was the first venue that we really got our foot in the door. And
who were you playing with? Like guys that you had played with for a long time? Guys
not
you met
really.
At school?
It was
or
pretty much just random. Oh, you like my bandmates.
Yeah.
So, gosh, back then...
It's a different
band
than now.
Right, it's a different band than now. Okay. So initially, my dad actually played bass for us, and the other guys, the lead guitarist and the drummer, were going to UT with me. They were in college with me.
And were you writing songs? Like, what was the material
I was writing
you were
songs.
Doing?
So it's pretty, let me think, I'm trying to think if we still play any of those There's one song that stands out in particular. It's called Time that I actually don't play it anymore, but I think we're going to bring some of these songs back that I wrote in the beginning. I mean, if you listen to the songs that I wrote back then, it's pretty much still the same. It's always been the same style. Yeah, I haven't gone on a drastic change.
How did you get to that style? Because it's not a John Mayer.
Right. It's definitely not.
Did you grow up with
John Mayer, I guess, was kind of my initially just really inspired me to.
Yeah, just
to
get, you saw him on
start
stage
playing the guitar.
And you're
like,
okay,
man,
yeah,
this is really cool.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever really tried to play along with any of his stuff, but like his chord structures that he plays are. It's crazy. Like, he goes all over the board, you know? He doesn't just play an E down on the,
right,
on the standard E.
Right.
I mean, he'll go all over the place.
Yeah.
And so I learned a lot just about guitar in general from playing his music.
Right.
And
different voicings
once,
and
right,
stuff, new
yeah,
ways
different
to
voicings,
play chords.
Stuff like that, yeah. Exactly. And that, you know, that was really inspiring. But then once I got into college, I started going out to things. It was out at Hills Cafe, these little free Texas country music nights on Wednesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Hills Cafe, and I would see guys like Randy Rogers and guys like Roger Kreger and at Cross Canadian Ragweed, Wade Bowen, guys like that. Jack Ingram, which
right.
I'm excited to be actually, we get to play with him at Green Hall this weekend, which
oh, fantastic.
I can't wait. But so I would go out there and see guys like that, and all my friends were listening to this Texas country thing, and I got into it. And I got the bug, the Texas country, like the kind of the country,
yeah,
like, you know, just roots country,
yeah,
type stuff.
It's a really strong scene.
It is.
And man, I gotta say, you're like one of the first people from that scene that I've had on my
really?
Show.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's hard. Well, I guess sometimes your circles are just
different. It is different.
Yeah.
You know, and you know Dono, MC Overlord.
Yes.
We did the podcast the other week with him, and he's actually one of the guys that kind of whenever I was doing, I was with the band called Aimless Gun, and it's actually still pretty much the same players. And our style was, it was a little bit more like alt rock kind of style. We played down at Dirty Dog and at
Aimless Gun
Goodness.
Is a great name for a country band.
Yeah, it would be. It would
Sorry.
Be. And gosh, where else? Momo's, places mm-hmm. like that, you know, and Donnell. He kind of took us under his wing for a while there and helped us out. He kicked down. He got us a lot of recognition in the beginning. Kind of, you know, he's been in the music industry for a long time, so he knew a lot of people, and he would get us in a lot of these venues down in the downtown area. Dirty Dog, and he would like the Parish. We got to play the Parish for our CD release party, which was
awesome.
Freaking killer room.
Yeah,
one of my
place.
Favorite rooms ever, man.
Yeah.
Just like the sound in there. Just the vibe of that room was
the
great.
It looks good, too, when you're watching the stage. It's a good-looking stage.
It's a great-looking
yeah,
stage.
It's not
yeah.
over-lit. It's
right.
not, you know what I mean? It's just perfect, yeah.
Man, you know what show I went to the other day that was... And I've always liked this guy a lot, but I've always respected him quite a bit, too, but I didn't realize how badass this guy was until I actually went and saw the show the other day. The Moody Theater. I was at the Moody Theater. I saw Ryan Adams out there. I mean,
oh, geez,
for one,
that's totally badass.
For one, the venue is freaking
oh, yeah.
top
that's
notch.
That's a great,
amazing venue.
I think it's won
and,
like in Polestar.
Oh, it's
and
definitely
stuff like
won
that.
A lot of
it's
won
a lot
of awards.
Yeah.
And I mean, it deserves it. There's
yeah.
no doubt. So I got to go see him, and holy cow, man, that show was there. It was one of those shows that I know it sounds kind of. It was like it was a magical show that night. Just I did not want to walk away from that place. And like, he could have played for 5-10 hours,
yeah.
you know, and I would have sat there and probably watched all 10 hours of it.
Yeah.
I mean,
he has that. I've got this, that's funny that you say that. It was a magical show that night. I think that he's actually that magic. I think that he just goes around
right.
being that great
yeah.
every night. I mean, I really do.
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody say any different than like, oh, you should have been there because that show was amazing.
Oh,
you're like,
yeah.
man, I think that guy, I mean, unless he like, he really pulls it out for
right.
Austin.
I don't know.
But yeah, he's a real fucking talented guy.
He is, extremely talented, man. And, you know, it's really cool. I like it when, you know, the show, it kind of just takes you on this, like on a ride, you know, it gets like intense for a while
yeah.
and then they'll break it down,
yeah.
do some acoustic stuff.
Yeah.
And Ryan would, like, he would come up, you know, I mean, the Moody Theaters, it's already a pretty intimate venue in the first place,
yeah,
which is really cool. And I mean, just the way that it's built, it can still seat quite a few people, but the way that they've built it, it's still one of those venues that it does still feel kind of intimate, you know?
Yeah.
And so he'd be, you know, he opened up and it was his full band, like, rocking out this really cool song that I actually want to cover, and it's called Give Me Something Good. It's so badass.
It's on his new record.
It's on his new record.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a great song.
And so he opens up with that song, and, you know, he rocks out for a little bit, and then he would break it down and just do just him and his guitar. He'd step up to another microphone that was off to the side of the stage. It had, you know, just a bunch of cool, like, lights around the microphone, and he'd just come up, just him and his guitar, and his guitar would be mic'd up. Like, he would actually have a microphone up to his guitar, you know, not even really plugged in. So it was just super, super cool, man, and just kept me watching the whole time. It was one of those shows.
So. He's a really, you know, I met him when he was already sober, but I was playing a show at the Beauty Bar, and he was in town doing a thing at, maybe the Paramount or something, but he was like one of four people at my show. Like, that's not intimidating. You're like, oh,
damn,
man, there's only four people here. Fuck, and one of them
is Ryan Adams. Holy cow.
Can someone cancel the show? But he's real nice, and we talked for a little while afterwards. He's real cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, he seemed like a good guy. The whole time he was joking around with the crowd and just having a good time, man. And I know, actually, the night before that, he had filmed a live session at the Moody Theater, so I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, it's going
to be
amazing.
That episode. It'll be really cool.
Okay, so where were we? You were
We were in college. Talking about my bandmates, right. Playing The Vibe, playing Momos.
Yeah.
You know, I think we even got a chance to play some frat parties and sorority parties and stuff like that, which was always fun. And my drummer and my guitarist ended up moving off to California. He's an electrical engineer, and he moved off to California for a while. He's actually back now, and I mean, we're good friends. He's a great guy. My old drummer, he basically just didn't work out. Picked up a new drummer at that point, and his name's Casey Conway, who's our current drummer now. And really good guy. He went to Bowie High School, you know, so I had a lot of friends that knew who he was, and they kind of told me about him. He lived right down the street, actually, from my old guitarist, Corey's house. And so he joined on, and, I mean, he was great, and he knew Miles. He'd been playing drums, and Miles plays bass. They'd been playing in a band for, like, 4 years before this. So they were good buddies. And Casey said, hey man, I've got this really great bass player. His name's Miles. I'd love for him to sit in on a practice. Just, you know, just see what you think about him. And this was when my dad was still playing bass for us.
Oh.
And so Miles comes in on a practice. Man, this was tough. So Miles comes in, and I mean, this kid
Dr.
is...
Dr. Brian.
Yeah, I'll never forget it, man.
Bad news.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, so here comes the garage. We'd always practice in Casey's garage, so the garage opens up slowly. Miles, he's always been one of these really goofy guys, right? Miles is sitting there cross-legged on his guitar amp, on the top of his guitar amp. He loves to climb things. Okay, so he's sitting there just cross-legged with a beanie on. He had I think it was a Wu-Tang beanie that he had on, and he was sitting there cross-legged, just chilling. And I walk in, and I'm like, hey, man, what's up? You know, I meet him, and we start jamming, and this guy was great, you know? And so the next week, I had to call my dad, made that phone call, and I said, Dad, I was like, man, I'm sorry, but we just found a bass player that's really good, and...
This wouldn't have happened if you were an Aggie, son.
Yeah, that's right. Things would have been different. So... Miles joined on. Man, he was okay with it. I mean, he was like, you know, son, I realized that's, you know, I was expecting this to happen. I wasn't expecting to keep playing with you guys. Right. I knew it was going to have to happen. But I knew deep down, you know, he had fun. He liked jamming with us. And so.
And at one point, he had a dream to be the guy. That's probably why he's so supportive of you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I can't do it, you can't.
And I will say, man, I mean, it's been nice having that support. Both my mom and my dad,
What does your mom do?
She's a. As esthetician, it's tough to say. So she's been doing that for quite a while now. So she takes care of people's skin.
Yeah,
that's what she does.
That sounds good.
I know that she did. She went to college for a little while. I don't think she ended up. I think she got maybe like a BA or something, and she did some. She's very good at decorating. She initially got her degree in some type of interior design stuff.
Oh, cool!
So I just moved into my new apartment. And she helped me with that. Thank you, Mom.
Oh, nice
for helping
Mom.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. It's looking all good in there.
So. Do you have a girlfriend or you live alone?
I do, man. I have a girlfriend. But I'm in a studio apartment. She doesn't actually live with me.
Okay.
But.
Yeah, because that studio, I tried that.
Yeah.
With someone in a studio apartment. Whoa.
It's tiny. I mean, we're talking 441 square feet, I believe.
Small apartment.
And,
like this.
Dude, just your place
the walls.
Is, yeah, without, and I think you've got a,
I've got a room.
You've got a room.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're talking about this one room right here.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's definitely a tight fit, but I don't need much, and I mean, I'm on the road a lot, so
yeah. You guys work your asses off. Let's talk about that. So then you guys got a thing. You started playing at Saxon Pub. You were doing that thing on Wednesdays,
right? Right.
What year was that?
So that was, God, I'd say that was 2012.
Okay,
I believe.
So just a couple years ago.
And then right, so then at about that point, that's when we were in the studio, working on the new on Wreck Me is the album. That's her debut album,
right?
So, kind of, you know, we were doing the Saxon Pub thing, getting up our chops there in the studio. And at that point, we really didn't have a management team around us. I'd always been kind of doing everything, you know, doing the booking and all that stuff, taking care of it myself. And, you know, it was good. I'm glad that I did that. I learned a lot about the music industry and I met a lot of people. And I've enjoyed, like, just building everything kind of from the ground up. It's cool kind of seeing the different sides of everything. You know, I've booked before. I know how much of a bitch it is to call, you know, calling up these venues until you get your foot in the door. These people, they have no clue who you are in the beginning. And you're sitting there, you know, telling them this. And unless you've got somebody that's got the credibility that can put a good word in for you, it's, you know, it's kind of tough for a lot of these venues at first. So, you know, I made a lot of calls. Made a lot of emails without ever hearing back in the beginning. Finally, we got the record out and we got a management team built around us, a guy named Dave Lytle with 415 Entertainment. And he's been in this Texas country, you know, thing for a long time. He actually toured with Corey Morrow for like 10 years. He was his tour manager.
Do you know all those guys?
Kind
like
of.
Corey Morrows and
so,
Jack Ingrams and
right,
stuff?
Right. So this next week, like I've already mentioned earlier, we're going to be playing with Jack Ingram, and this will actually be our first time with Jack.
Okay.
I have yet to actually play a show with Corey. We have definitely never played a show with Corey, but pretty much, you know, like all the other guys, Randy Rogers Band, Roger Kreger, guys like Casey Donahue, a lot of the guys we've opened up for, stuff like that. You know, so I'm not on a great, you know, I don't really know these guys yet very well. But
I didn't
we've
know
pretty
if it
much
was like a scene,
right?
There,
oh, it's
all
definitely,
right, this is Cody,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
he's
right,
the new guy. Let's
right.
Get
there's
him
definitely
out there.
A scene, and I mean, with the new management that we've got now, they're wrapping us up in the scene very well. You know, we've got a great team built around us now. Angela Lampton is our radio promoter, and she's amazing. You know, she works with guys like Eli Young Band and Kevin Fowler, and so she's got some good names under her for sure.
What are you guys getting some play?
Yeah, we actually released our single, Wreck Me. It's the name of the album as well.
First
and
song.
That made it up to, it was either 24 or 27 on the Texas music chart. So that was...
Oh, that's right. They were saying that the other day.
Right.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that,
yeah.
I mean, that was really exciting for me.
That's
definitely.
Great,
I mean,
man.
I didn't, yeah, it. I was just hoping to break the top 50. My manager was like, man, if you guys break the top 50, you're doing pretty good. And we ended up making it up to the end of the 20s, the mid-20s, so... I was pumped, man.
So
it's really
you,
cool.
Did some certain things open up once you get like,
you
oh,
know,
hey, we got a guy. He's got
right.
number 23 on the charts.
So, I will say, you know, we do like the iTunes thing and the online music sales. And I've definitely noticed the sales going up some with that. I think the main thing is just you're playing shows and people will come up to you after the show. You know, they want to buy a CD or something. And they're like, man, yeah. We heard you, maybe we heard you doing a radio interview, or we heard
That's
Wreck
awesome.
Me on the radio, you know, and it's one of the coolest things for me, like kind of, we're starting to get our feet really, you know, kind of moving in this Texas country industry, and we go out to some of these shows, and I'll just see somebody singing along to one of my songs that I have no clue, like I've never met these people.
That's awesome.
that's one of the coolest things to me, is just seeing these people like and just enjoy the music and singing along, having a good time.
Yeah.
You know, that's, there's nothing better than that, man. Like when you're on stage, it's that energy, like that you get so much energy from that. I do, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, it's badass.
Hey, let me ask you, you guys are going to do, are you doing a big festival coming up? There's something
I saw
on the 8th.
On the 8th. November 8th. That's going to be up at the Round Rock, the Dell Diamond.
Yeah. What is that?
Right. So, goodness. It's the Diamond Fest. Yeah. And AJ Vallejo actually set us up with that one.
Oh, nice.
So, man, pumped. I know that MC Overlord is going to be doing one show. I believe Kendall Beard.
Yes.
Who else? Some other cool people that I saw on there.
Yeah.
So it should be fun. I don't really know how it's going to work. I don't know if it's, from what I could tell, it's kind of like a week long deal. I think we're playing on a Saturday night. I think it's November 8th, like you said.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I didn't know exactly what it was.
Right. I don't really have all the details yet for it. But of course, that's where the Round Rock Express plays.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's going to be a game going on that night. Probably not, because it's, I think baseball season is it just about over?
Because we got the World Series.
It's the World Series going, but I don't know how the minor leagues, like the Round Rock Express stuff works. You know, it's
a
shame.
Is it just a party?
I don't really know, man. I think it's an actual festival.
Okay.
I think it is. Yeah.
Well, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I mean, great people on there.
Right.
You
should
know,
be a good time.
I want to go back to this because I was going to say something, but I didn't interrupt you. I think I know Jack Ingram's big sister, Julia.
Oh, really?
Isn't that weird?
Interesting.
From,
so how do you know her?
Swim team. Mm-mm. In the Woodlands. Isn't he from the Woodlands?
I think he's
from the Woodlands.
I would be lying if I said that I knew where he was from.
I think he is,
because
I know a lot of my friends are like, do you know this guy?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. He's like, they're like, he's from the Woodlands. And
oh,
I'm like,
cool.
Is he Julia's little brother?
Badass.
Yeah.
All right, a swimmer, huh? You're a swimmer.
Well, in fourth grade.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, fair enough.
Oh, I've got a picture. Yeah, it's great. I put it on Facebook sometimes on Throwback Thursdays.
Sweet. Did you get to wear the little Speedo, or did you get, was it the legit?
Yeah.
Dang.
And not only that, man,
pimp.
If you look at it, when I was 10, physically, totally peaked.
Did you have the six pack? You were like, rocking it.
So happening. I mean, aside from not having any hair on my body except on my head, I was pretty. I was working it.
Yeah.
What about you? Did you do any sports growing
up?
You say you're outdoorsy.
I did. I'm all about the outdoors. Any sport that I could play, pretty much I did play. I played baseball, which, no offense to the baseball fans out there, that was the most boring sport that I played.
Yeah.
I think I was just too young though at that point. I think I would love playing it now.
Yeah.
But back then it was like I would sit there and the kids would usually not really hit the ball out there. Like, I'd be sitting there just playing with the ants or, digging in the dirt.
Yeah.
So I did that for about a year. And then, gosh, what did I get into next? I guess it was soccer that I got into. And I did the swim thing for a little bit. I took just lessons, so I was never on a team. Right. Never a badass like you. But
I was the worst guy on the team. I just had a good
physique at 10. Yeah?
At 10, I was working it.
Sweet.
So where do you play around town?
Here, music. Let's see here. We've been playing Midnight Rodeo a lot down here,
which is down there,
kind of on the east side over there on 290 or 71. So that's a good venue. It's a cool dance hall.
Yeah, I mean, I've never in a band that would play there, except for people rent it out for events.
Oh yes.
Wait, is that Midnight Rodeo? Is that the place that has like an Old Town City in it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
We played the Friday Night Lights.
Whoa,
rap
really?
Party. Oh. Like serious rap.
My mom would be
there.
Jealous, man. She used to love Friday Night Lights.
You know, I didn't get into it until last year. So we did songs with Peter Berg and stuff, and I didn't even I knew he was an actor, but like I would have freaked out if I would have seen Coach Taylor and I knew who he was.
Right.
I'm sure I probably walked by him or something.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Very cool. How was that, man? Was that a lot of fun?
Yeah.
It was just one of those.
We play a lot of parties, and they're all kind of like that. You know, we show up, and first set, people don't really dance, and then the rest of the time, and then when we finish, they're like, come on, baby.
They've had a couple of drinks in them, and you guys get them going.
Good parties.
Yeah, cool.
Do you play a lot of private stuff?
We do. In fact, we just played a wedding this past weekend. We're going to be playing another one on Halloween, actually, and I'm bummed because we're not dressing up, man.
Oh.
It's like, I emailed them and I was like, so you know, y'all's, and it, I think it's actually just, it's a rehearsal dinner. It's not the actual wedding on, going to be on Friday. And I was like, so what's up, guys? Are we dressing up? You guys going to be dressing up? I think it'll be kind of fun, blah, blah, blah. Like, fingers crossed, hopefully we can do something cool. And they're like, nah, just be yourselves. And I was like, oh.
When you do that, do you guys have to do, you guys have to know a lot of songs outside of the Cody Bryan band?
Yeah, we do. I try to do, I mean, it depends on the party, kind of what they hired us for, but the majority of the time, I'd say 3/4 of the songs to half of the song, you know, they're covers.
Okay.
You know, so we do all over the board, man, all over the board. You know, we can do some Sublime, some Tom Petty, some Skinner, a lot of the Texas country stuff that, you know, Randy Rogers band. Kind of all over the place, even a little Usher, you know, if you want some Usher, do some stuff like that. So,
do you, can we talk about country music?
Sure,
for the rest of the time?
Absolutely, man.
Okay, because I'm not in it, but like last year, I sat down and I watched, and I know that like what the Texas country guys are doing is, to me, kind of like guys that grew up listening to AC/DC and Willie Nelson.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Because there's some rock and roll going on.
A lot of the guys are like that. And a lot of the guys that you meet that are...
And I get that from you, too.
Right.
You have
definitely,
that. There's
man.
A rock and roll guy.
You know, I mean, my dad, he would always pop in the Skinner, the Bad Company, the Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
So, I mean, of course, those are that's definitely in my roots.
But what what I feel like when I watched this CMAs last year, what I saw was a real weird kind of like... it's like a cross between hip-hop. Because who's the Luke Bryan, your cousin? No, he started off his song. I'd never seen him before in my life, but like, man, I took notes. I was like, I watched that whole thing, and my mind was kind of blown because I saw Casey Chambers and somebody else, like Taylor Swift. They were like the only people that did something that was remotely like organic. The rest of it was like big drum machine
samples.
Shit. Like, Like that's what he does when he comes on for a song.
That's
he literally says exactly what Jay-Z does. But then it also like all the drums and shit sound like Def Leppard. You know what I mean?
It's the truth. I mean, every song that you listen to now, at least, okay, so there's a difference though between Texas country and Nashville country. I mean, if you listen to the stuff that's played, that's, you know, these guys that are coming from Nashville.
Right.
At least for the most part. Now, not everybody, but you listen to guys like Luke Bryan and guys like, you know, Keith Urban now, who is an awesome guitar player. I don't know if you really follow
Keith.
Yeah, but
he's got, I used to be managed by the same dude that managed his band, The Ranch. Yeah.
No
kidding. And before he was famous.
Damn, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, somewhere there's a picture of us.
Wow.
With them. Yeah. He's
very
real nice.
Cool. Yeah.
He was really nice. They were like a cover band. And then they moved here, and they got signed, but nothing happened, and then he just took off on his own.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Well, so, there's guys like that, it's all, there's samples in all their music now, and it's kind of just one of the, I guess bro country is what a lot of people call this stuff, that's kind of like the Florida Georgia Line guys.
I took a picture of them on television and I Instagrammed it. It's on my fucking phone.
Oh,
you
no.
cannot tell the difference between them and Creed. I swear to God. It looks like
Creed.
Dude,
I don't doubt it, man. I really don't doubt it. I mean, hey.
I'm not doubting
their
thing.
Those guys
I didn't even hear their music.
Those guys,
I
they're laughing all the way to the bank. And they're still, I mean, for me, that's not really my thing.
Sure.
Personally, like the Florida Georgia Line stuff. And I'm not taking, like, I know that those guys have worked their asses off to get where they are, and I mean, I respect them for what they do, but, you know, that's really not my thing. I like guys more like, I don't know if you know who Eric Church is, but he's a country guy that is in Nashville,
that
guy, Dierks Bentley as well.
Yeah.
Which Dierks, he does do some, like, sampling type stuff, but the guys like that are more organic type country, and that's the stuff that I grew up listening to, you know, this whole Texas country thing, like the Randy Rogers and Cross Canadian Ragweed and guys like Jack Ingram, guys like that. I feel like their music is more about like the roots, and these guys are more like, they're just, to me, they feel like they're built more from the ground up. Like, you've been to Nashville probably. If not, I mean, it's
in,
a
like,
different world.
Scenes,
it's
though,
it's a
Nashville.
Different world in Nashville, man. Like,
yeah, but like the rock scene in Nashville is totally like underground.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
and like,
you know, and I haven't really followed that. I know that there is somewhat of a rock scene.
Other,
I mean, there's pretty much every scene probably in Nashville.
Yeah.
You just got to be at the right places. But there's industry there in Nashville. That's where all the labels are. That's where, you know, I mean, not all of them, but the majority of the big labels, for country at least, that's where they're going to be.
How do you see yourself like producers. That? I mean, honestly, like, how do you see yourself going to, like, Capitol you Records know, Nashville?
I mean, or look, if I'm not going to say that I'm never,
you
right.
You wouldn't
if
turn him down.
I wouldn't. I mean, of course, I'd have to look at the deal and see. But for me, I don't ever see myself being as, like, I guess, manufactured, in a sense, as, like, Luke Bryan, maybe. Like, and I don't mean that as, like, a downgrade. Like, those, like, they're doing what they're doing,
yeah,
you know?
It's just either not for
but
you.
But that's
there
not quite
something...
my style.
Right.
There's a band called Eli Young Band, and I think they're from Dallas. They're from Texas. But they've kind of been able to do this thing. See, a lot, it's tricky because a lot of times these guys pigeonhole themselves in one or the other category, like Texas country music or Nashville.
Country. Yeah.
And, you know, guys like Luke Bryan have kind of pigeonholed themselves into the Nashville realm of things. And the guys in Texas do the same thing. They pigeonhole themselves kind of in the Texas, like they're never really going to do anything out of Texas, and they don't really have the desire to, you know. It's like
that stuff doesn't like a
now,
like those guys, I mean, to me,
some
I
of those
know
guys
who are Texas
now,
but
Texas,
I,
it's growing. The Texas country,
yeah,
and a sense
like
music scene is it's growing out now, and they are starting to, and there's some guys, one guy, Granger Smith, he's, you know, guys like that, and even guys like Jack Ingram. I know that Jack Ingram does a lot of work in Nashville now. Those, you know, because Nashville, it does have a lot to offer. But, God, where was I going with this? So basically these guys are starting to travel further and further out. Kind of the Texas country music scene is spreading. And I can't say firsthand for myself, I haven't actually been much further than Oklahoma and Kansas. But from what I've heard, it is like, you know, it's gotten into Florida and guys are going up to Chicago now and up to New York City and places like that and doing pretty dang well. Like, which I feel like, you know, 10 years ago, maybe they wouldn't have been able to do that.
Right.
And do well. So it's definitely growing. But to get back to the Eli Young Band thing, I know I kind of went off on a tangent there. They're a band from here in Texas that has had the ability to not pigeonhole themselves in either one, Texas or Nashville. They're able to be in both industries, mm-hmm. kind of, and do well. Like, they can come to Texas and do great. They can go up to Nashville and do great. And that's kind of, I know it's tricky, but that I'd kind of like to be able to do something kind of like that, you know, kind of following that same line. I like their style of music. So something like that is kind of where I could see myself ending up, hopefully, ideally. Yeah.
Do you do co-writing at all?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Who do you write
I
with?
Never turned down co-writes. I mean, if I've written with some guys up in Nashville, a guy named Jeremy Raby, who is a great guy. He's friends with Matt. Actually, Matt introduced me to this guy. And I know he's actually written some stuff for Blue October as well. He's written some of their, at least some of the track, like the backtracking music.
All right.
So him and I have written together. This guy, one of my good longtime buddies, AJ Lopez, really talented guy. And it's funny because he actually started off, and he still does do rap sometimes. He started off as a rapper, and he's just really good with lyrics. And so him and I have written many, many a song together. And Matt Noveski and I also wrote a couple of songs. So yeah, man. I mean, I'm not one of the types of guys that's going to sit there and be like, I'm only going to play my music.
Right.
Definitely not. And like, if you listen to Wreck Me, I think you had it pulled up on your computer, you'd maybe heard some of the tracks. Like, there's about four tracks on there, or three tracks that are completely from other people.
Okay.
And that I just kind of put my own spin on. You know, so.
That's a real way to, I mean, it seems to teeter between, because I think now it's okay to put other people's songs in your album. So at some point it was kind of like looked down upon.
Yeah.
But I mean, shit, that's the Beatles' first records were like half other people's songs.
Yeah.
They're cool as shit. And you learned about those other people.
Dude, it's crazy.
Like, I don't know if I would have ever known, you know, I might have never really gotten a reverence for a guy like Carl Perkins when I was like seven, because I saw him on a Beatle thing and I was like, Mom, who's Carl Perkins?
Right. It's crazy, man. With the Beatles, for me, whenever I first, you know, like when I was probably 10 years old, my dad, you know, I would hear a Beatles song and I'd be like, I don't know, this stuff's okay, but I just don't see what the whole fuss, like, what's the big deal about these guys back then? And you know, once I actually started playing music and started playing along to these Beatles records, that's when I was like, damn, like, these guys are freaking...
Yeah.
Well, for one, I mean, it's just because they were the first guys to do so much of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. You listen to the music, it sounds so simple, and then you start playing along to it, and it's like, whoa, hold up.
Yeah.
Like, there's all these little subtleties.
Yeah,
and that's the beautiful thing about music, man. Like, that's one thing that I love about music, is that it's guys that can put all these, like, cool parts in a song.
Yeah.
And maybe not necessarily the people listening will really realize it until you actually tune in on that, like, on that one part, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, that's one thing that Matt Noveski, you know, with producing, he does that all the time, man.
Yeah.
Like, which is
great. In a little ear candy.
Yeah. Yeah. The ear candy, the little spices on top,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He knows how to ice a cake.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm going in there to sing on something soon.
Cool, man.
He texted me, like, yesterday or Monday. Do you know this guy, Paco Estrada?
Dude, he wrote one of the songs on the album, When We Are Made.
Listen to this. That is awesome. He did one of my songs on his last album.
Dude,
it's like
Paco
a little train.
Paco is awesome, man.
It's like Human Centipede, but with songs.
What's going on here? Damn.
That's great, man.
Wow, when am I going to write one for one of you guys now? I guess that's the way it's going to have to complete the
I'll go through and listen and see what I'll cover. I know that you just put this out. It was probably a huge endeavor. It sounds like $1 million. I don't know how to say it. It doesn't sound like a local album.
Right.
Your thing is very well done. Like, it sounds great. Your songs are great. You know.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
You're very handsome. Today I told my friend Kyle. He asked me who you were, and I said he's very handsome.
Just a studly,
yeah,
studly boy from here,
like,
in Austin.
He's like me when I was 10. But sorry you had to come in and witness my spewing anger at my dad. Some 47.
Oh,
how
man.
Sad is that, being a 47? I got to let go. I got to think about Jeff Skunk Baxter and our afternoon together at the ACL.
Heck yeah.
Do you know that
guy?
Wow,
no, I don't.
You know his work, man.
Tell me about this guy.
That is Jeff Skunk Baxter from Steely Dan.
Wow.
And the Doobie Brothers.
Dude, awesome, man.
And
that's
and
another band that I just
show.
Got into a while back. Steely Dan, my lead guitarist,
like,
was like, dude, you got to check them out.
Yeah,
so I listened to the record. I'm like, holy
he's
cow,
the guy that went.
Yes, man. Where did you meet him?
At AC. I used to be in this band, Endosheen.
Okay. Dude,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, I was like their auxiliary dude.
Damn.
And I played keyboards and guitar and sang
Hell
shit.
Hell yeah, man.
And he showed up. He loved them. And he showed up and jammed with us. It's on the internet.
Sick.
But then those guys, they just thought he was some weird old dude that everyone told them to jam with him. And I ended up just going like, are you kidding me? That's the dude. That's Jeff Skunk Baxter. But now, he's a fascinating man. I wish that I could catch up with him now and get him on my show. He is an anti-terrorism expert for the United States government.
No kidding.
Spent 6 months out of the year, or at least then, underground in a bunker in Afghanistan.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So, hang on. Was he in the military before he started playing music or something?
He was on tour, and when everyone was off partying and getting high, he started reading books and became a cop.
Really?
And then,
Damn. I feel like that's a very, to me...
That's cool.
You know, being in the music industry and then falling into, like, that position.
And your name's Skunk, so you know at some point you have
a
different reputation than a cop.
Right. That's crazy, man. I mean, I just don't... You know, I've never heard of anybody falling into that.
No, everything he has
role.
On is police stuff, and his guitar strap is the United States Department
That's
of Defense guitar strap.
What a badass, man.
Total badass.
Really cool guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's really out there doing the work, you know? I mean, he was out there, that was in the, you know, during the wartime.
He's over there in the, he's over there in the midst of it.
Yeah, and then he came here, and he played with us that day.
That's
so cool. He played
with
Robert Randolph. He played with like four bands. We
Another
kept on going
band.
From stage to stage. Everyone was like,
"So this was
Skunk's
at the music
here?
ACL Music Fest."
Yeah,
damn.
They're like, "Skunk's here, man. Get him to come over and play with me." And then he'd run into someone backstage and be like, "They'd be like, hey, you want to jam?" He'd be like, "Yeah, hey, let's go over and see this dude." And I'd be like, "Sure."
Sweet. That's so cool, man.
We did a radio interview together.
Yeah.
Yeah, on KVET.
That's killer. Yeah, 98. Was it 98.1 back then, or was it?
I remember. I just remember I was excited.
Damn, that's killer, man.
Yeah.
Sorry, Skunk.
I just went off on too much.
Jeff Skunk Baxter.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Look him up.
That's
he
epic.
Did a lot of important guitar
All right.
stuff.
Yeah, I definitely will.
Is there anything that I'm missing? People can find you. What's your... Oh, shit, I didn't write down your website.
Oh, it's CodyBryanMusic.com.
Okay, CodyBryanMusic.com.
CodyBryanMusic.com. Of course, we're on Facebook.
I was listening to you on the Spotify, but I'm sure you're on iTunes. Yeah. You're in the record stores in towns.
You know, I need to go check it out at, what is it, Waterloo right there at 6th and Lamar right there. We should be in there. I need to go back and double check on that, though.
But there's other there's places people go that listen to this show, even like in Houston. They go to Cactus.
Cool. Okay.
In...
Man, you know, we need to distribute out to places like that. Let's chat about that here in a little bit, and maybe you can kind of lead me in the right direction
with that stuff. Cactus.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. But, I mean, of course, you know, iTunes, Spotify, like you said.
Yeah.
We're releasing a new single really soon. Actually, this past week, it went out to radio. So,
oh, great.
Super pumped about that. It's called Corpus Christi Heartbreaker, and that's one of the songs that we actually recorded at Matt's new studio. So,
So it's a new single, not on the record.
That's a new single. It'll go towards the next album.
Okay.
So, yeah. So
how
check
far
that
along
out.
Are you with that?
Man, damn it. I wish I had a copy. I'll forward you a copy whenever we
You have a new album in the can.
We've got it in the works. I mean, we've recorded 3 tracks for it right now.
Oh, okay.
I'm guessing, man, probably mid next year it'll come out.
That's great.
Yeah. So it's a lot of work. You know how it is. It's one of those things that takes a lot of energy, a lot of time, a lot of money.
A lot of work.
And just,
a lot of money.
Yeah. So.
But you guys are playing. I'm glad that you guys do private events. That's good to keep it going because
it keeps
the band tight. Learning covers as
tight.
A band keeps you working.
Right. It helps us pay for the road. I mean, things, you know, those hotels, the gas, all that stuff, you know.
And sometimes when you're going into a new place and people don't know you,
right.
you're losing money on the thing.
Absolutely,
but
man.
It's a great way to support it.
It's a lot of fun, yeah. And, you know, we just played one of the most fun weddings I've ever played at this past weekend, actually. And you get to see some really cool venues, too, when you do those.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And just some really top-notch places. We played out, what was the name of the town? It was right out past Fredericksburg. I can't remember the actual name of it. It was a small town out there. Really, really small, like, private venue that apparently they rarely have events out there. And somehow, I guess that this family had a connection with somebody out there. It was a place called, like, Tres Luna or something, and this place was freaking beautiful, dude. Like, most beautiful sunset I've ever seen. Definitely while playing music, man. Like, off to the right of the stage was this huge downhill and this break in the trees where the sun was setting, and it was like this huge, like you could just see for miles and miles. It was badass.
That's awesome.
The people, you know, the host, sometimes it depends on how the host is. Sometimes they're real stressed out, and so like you try to, you know, it's like everything's gonna be fine. We've done this before. Don't worry about this. We're gonna have fun.
Yeah,
you know,
that's how it is. With
and
Skywalker.
You know how it is. You know, and especially with weddings and stuff like that.
But
you
it's
never
like
know.
Every week they're always like, okay, well we're gonna need you. And then you're like, dude, we literally do this every week.
It's okay.
Like, don't worry. Just relax.
Right. Yeah. Just chill out. We got this. When do we need to start?
As soon as we go.
Yeah.
The beginning of Dancing Queen.
Yes.
The party's gonna be fine.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yell at the caterers.
Right. Yeah. Please.
Yeah, we've actually got one this week, and we learned a Beatles song. That's what I was going to tell you earlier. We learned that.
Yes.
You know,
awesome, man.
And that.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. So what kind of event is it? Is it like a wedding or something?
It's a wedding. Yeah. We're playing the House of Blues tomorrow.
Oh, badass,
in Houston.
Man.
And then the next day we're playing some kind of event that I don't know. And then Saturday's a wedding.
Very
all in
cool.
Houston.
Good times.
Well, everyone get out there. CodyBryanMusic.com.
Yeah, Twitter.
Great band. Yes, you're on Twitter.
Instagram.
That's how we did this.
Yeah, Instagram too. That's
Instagram.
Right. We set this up through Twitter.
Instagram, Facebook, do it all.
I'm trying to get into the Twitter thing, man. Are you a big Twitter?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I need to get better about it, man.
But it's like if I didn't have a music band or career or podcast to have to do Facebook, I would probably only be on Twitter and Instagram because I like Twitter a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I follow a lot of funny people on Twitter.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting more into it now, but. I've always been the Facebook guy. I don't know. So I'm working on it.
You gotta keep
tweeting
guys.
Me. I'll interact with you and you know, teach me the ropes here, man.
We'll get some tweets. Yeah. Cody Bryan, thank you for coming, man.
Thanks for having me, John.
All right. Cody Bryan and the Cody Bryan Band. What a great dude, man. Loved hanging out and talking to him, man. It's very cool. I'm glad that he's into music. I'm glad that he's doing it. I'm glad that he's working with my good pal, Matt. Love Matt Nevesky. Love him too much. Cody Bryan, thank you for coming by, buddy. And you guys get out there, check out his album, Wreck Me. It's a great album. Been listening to it today. I just went running and I listened to it again. And I was like, shit, man, this is a great album. I was looking for songs to play on the podcast and I just started listening to the whole thing. So there you go, man. Cody Bryan, great dude. Get out there, pick up his stuff. While you're out there picking up his stuff, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, How Did I Get Here. You can like our Facebook page, which is also called How Did I Get Here. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram if you want to get really involved. And that is at Johnny Gowdy. All right? How about some more music from the Cody Bryan Band? This is their single, Wreck Me, that they've been playing. They got some new music coming out pretty soon. I was hoping to get a hold of that, but look for that. Look for Cody Bryan. See what's going on. All right? Let's get down.
You look pretty in that light blue sundress. My eyes followed as you walked by. I found my nerve and I caught my breath and told myself I'd make you mine. From the very first time that we met, I should have seen the curves ahead. Baby, you wreck me, bring me to my knees. If you want to protect me, forgive me, it's all I really need. Loving you is a car crash, wrapping my heart around the tree. I'm gonna need an ambulance for the way. You're wrecking me. I thought that you were something special. I did everything to treat you right. A fallen angel turned into the devil, making me lose sleep at night. From the very first time that we met, I should have seen the curve. Me.